Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yes, guys, I'm Si. Welcome to Cardiff City World. Welcome to your Wales versus Poland preview. The playoff final is here nearly this Tuesday night. Wales take on Poland in a massive game to see which of the two countries will join a host of other nations at the Euros this summer in Germany. It's going to be a massive game. Both teams dominated their semi-finals, Wales versus Finland and Poland versus Estonia, respectively. So it's going to be a very interesting fixture. I don't think it'll be 0-0, I've got to say. Two attacking teams. Both teams, I think, have got some weaknesses defensively, and they almost look at it as a best form of defence is attack. Certainly in Wales's case, I feel that they need to address or certainly defend better than they did against Finland at certain points. It wasn't terrible, but there was little moments where I feel that Wales needed to maybe do a little bit better in terms of how they defended certain situations. And the small bit of highlights that I saw from Poland, I thought it was pretty similar, actually. There was certainly some areas that I feel, as a Welshman, that Wales could potentially exploit or try to exploit. So it's kind of interesting to me. It's obviously a very big game, lots to discuss. If you're new to the kind of the preview ways, we do the previews and stuff within the channel and within Ace Podcast Nation. We take a look at both teams. You look at the predicted starting lineups, tactics, things like that, about half an hour or so. But with a spot in the Euro 2024 Group D, on the line, both Wales and Poland square off in the Cardiff City Stadium Tuesday night. It's the Path A playoff final. It's going to be interesting. Look, Wales, without being arrogant or anything like that, they made very light work of Finland on Thursday evening. It was 4-1. Probably should have been 5, at least. That goal, which got disallowed, was very, very soft. And then equally, Poland made equally light work of their opponents in Estonia.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
And listen, I shared a post earlier on my personal Facebook page. As a Welshman, I'm 42. And for so long, I had come to terms with the fact that Wales were never going to reach a major tournament. Never thought I'd see it in my lifetime. And, you know, this will, if Wales can get past Poland on Tuesday, it'll be the third successive Euros, fourth tournament in sort of recent times. That's massive for someone like myself and other Welsh supporters, because we had come to terms with it. We never thought we were going to make it to the major tournaments. So to see that, and it's exciting times for Wales, because you've got this young first team squad with a few experienced players dotted in and around, and then underneath you've got this exceptional under 21s coming through with so many exciting players. In particular, on I think it was Wednesday last week, you know, Reuben Corwell played for the 21s after coming down from the first team group and excelled. He was absolutely excellent, a goal and assist. Lewis Kumas making his debut, scored a wonderful goal. And, they weren't the only two, but they certainly stood out. Reuben Corwell actually has been recalled back into Wales' first team group, which is, I think, the first and foremost, I think is absolutely the right decision. For me, we discussed it on the watch along, having two keepers on the bench for a knockout game is just seems silly. To me, you want as many creative and attacking options as possible. And the form that Reuben Corwell's been in, I would want him on the bench. Even if they don't use him, I would want him on the bench as an option, because if Wales need a goal late on, extra time, whatever, like a young, creative, attacking player who drives up people, works hard defensively as well, is the sort of player you want on there. Someone who can make something happen. It's going to be fascinating. Obviously, if you haven't seen it already, please do check out the sort of post-match shows that we did after the Poland game. We had about the Finland game, five things we learned from Wales versus Poland, Finland. And we also did a post-match flower hour where they talked about the game and stuff like that. This Tuesday, for anyone who can't make the game, like myself, who can't make it for health issues. So I'll be doing a watch-along myself, Roger Giggs, and the Flower Hour boys, Matt and Rob, will be joining us. We'll be watching the game, having a chat, reactions, all that sort of stuff as we do it. So if you're not going to the game, or you live away or whatever the reason, come and join us as we do our watch-along. But let's move on to, we start with the opponents. So we'll start with Poland. As I mentioned, very impressive against Estonia. I think they will feel very much the same as what we feel. It's going to be a very different game versus Wales. They'll have much more to deal with. What was interesting is that they won 5-1, and I don't think Lewandowski scored. Who's obviously a world record. I think he's one of the world record holders for in terms of goals scored at international levels. He certainly is one of the best in the modern era as an out-and-out number nine and as a goal scorer. And even at his age now, where he's coming to the end of his career, he will still be a danger. If you give him a sniff anywhere around the box, then, he's putting it away. Poland is a fairly new manager, about a year or so, I think it is, maybe a bit under that, after Santos left, after a very bad period. They're in a bit of a transition period in terms of this squad, but they've still got a lot of quality in there. Most recently, they've lined up in a sort of 3-5-2, and with Bednarek being a top quality defender, Kiwire, David Duic, going to butcher some of these names, as the back three. And then they got like Frankowski off the right. He's a really, really dangerous player. Very direct, very creative, gets assists and goals. He will be a massive asset. And they will feel that because Nico Williams gets forward so much, that Frankowski can sort of get in behind those spaces and down the side of Wales. And I think we need a big performance from Ethan Ampadu and Jordan James again. You know, are going to be the double pivot for Wales for years to come. But they need to have that defensive eye on sweeping up and covering. But Ampadu was exceptional against Finland, and he did all that and more. His positional sense was just incredible. And then I think you'll probably go with Matty Cash is obviously is out, so Frankowski will definitely play. Then you'll have either Zielinski, maybe Seismanowski, or also Mulder can drop in there. But I think it'll be Zielinski, Slice, and Petrovsky as the middle three, with Slice sort of pushing up to get in behind the front two. Zawaleski on the right, and then Svideski up front with Lewandowski. Buska sometimes also plays alongside Lewandowski. I think it'll be Svideski just because of some of the movement that he'll provide and the legs he'll provide in a pressing sense, because Lewandowski won't do a great deal of pressing, but he will play within the areas of the box and look to get those shooting opportunities. Obviously, Szczesny will be the goalkeeper. Poland, technically very good. I'd expect their passing to be much more vertical and direct than what Finland. I was very surprised with just how lateral Finland's passing was. There was nothing really kind of breaking the lines. They were never able to utilize that space between midfield and attack. I was a bit disappointed with Finland in terms of how I expected them to turn up. I expect Poland to be much, much better. They got three really solid midfielders. Zielinski in particular is very good at breaking those lines and getting in the spaces. And I think, as I mentioned, Ethan Ampadu and Jordan James will have to be very aware of what's going on behind them. They've got the legs, they've got the youth. And I think that's where Wales can utilise their youth. They utilise their energy and aggression in possession. But these are top-level footballers. Zielinski plays for Napoli. Very, very good player. Creates, scores, aggressive. Very experienced player. But again, you know, he's 29. Let's have a look at the age of these midfielders. You've got Zielinski, aged 29. Very experienced. You know, they're top-level footballers. Again, you've got Slice, who plays out in America. He's only 24. He's the creative one. He's the one who will play those little one-twos off Lewandowski, off Svideski, and kind of trying to link up. Petrovsky is, again, the number six, is one. Maybe he'll sit a bit deeper, but he's very capable of dictating the play. He's not like your out-and-out sort of destroyer, deep player. plays in Bulgaria. Again, you know, mid-20s, 26 years old. Don't think you'll see, like, a lot of attacking movements from him. I think he'll be the one that sits. I might be wrong, because I think Zielinski is also capable of dictating play from deep. But for me, Petrovsky is the one who will just pull the strings from deep. And that's where Harry Wilson or David Brooks, whoever it is, who kind of play in that, drop into that number 10 space behind the striker, they can do a defensive job on the deeper line, the midfielder of Poland, and just not give him too much time to dictate the play and to play through those lines and try and utilize the spaces down the sides of Wales's team. In terms of player to watch, there's a couple. Zielinski for me, Frankowski, as I said, Svideski. Lewandowski is the obvious one because he's who he is. He's one of the great number nines of the modern generation. And if you give him a chance, he'll put it away. But just for the sake of being different, I guess, we'll go with Frankowski. It's really, really been impressed with him. I was impressed with him against Estonia. He just looked a threat all the time whenever he got the ball. He can put in some good crosses. He can link up with the strikers and cut inside. But he will do that defensive work as well. He will get back. He's one of them, which is a kind of out and out wing back. Plays his football in Lons. And this is where maybe I feel that, without being disrespectful, maybe Wales can utilise their youth and their exuberance and their energy and their average age, because that a lot of these Polish players, they play, you know, in the Bulgarian League, the French League, the American League. Some of them play at the absolute top level, Champions League football, you know, Italy, playing for Napoli, starting each week. But the vast majority don't. And I feel like, you know, all right, Wales have got a lot of players in the Championship, but the Championship is like a Premier League too in many ways in terms of quality. They have a lot of international footballers in that league. Every single week is like a high-level battle. You can't switch off. You can't have an all. You won't get by in the Championship very often. You know, playing. You don't see many teams play badly and get points. If you play badly, you struggle. So I think Wales can I fancy Wales at home against anybody, certainly to give them a game. The crowd is electric. The crowd never, you know, turns or goes quiet on the players. And I just feel that can be the advantage, the home advantage. And like I mentioned, the average age. In terms of the way Wales will line up, it's really interesting. I think system-wise, it'll be the same, that sort of 3-4-2-1 sort of thing. So your out-and-out wide players will be the wing-backs. You'll have the two sitting in midfield. And then you almost play with like two number 10s who have the freedom to just roam into the spaces, link up with the strikers, get in behind, get in the wide areas, drop a bit deeper. And that role and that system very, very much suits David Brooks and Wilson. The only change potentially I could system would be if Kiefer Moore was to start up front. And then I think you may see a more traditional kind of 4-2-3-1. I think it's unlikely that Wales go with that. The main reason I think it's unlikely is that Poland play with wing-backs. So I can see us kind of matching up with the wing-backs. And I do like the way Wales line up created that box midfield with the double pivot at the base and then the two number 10s, because it allows you to create an overload in the centre of the park. And Wales absolutely dominated the midfield against Finland, and largely because they kept creating an overload. But it was also, apart from the overload which was created, it was the aggression and the energy which was given, because you've got a 19-year-old and Ethan Ampadu, who's early 20s, David Brooks, mid-20s, you know, Harry Wilson, mid-20s. And the great thing for Wales is a lot of these attacking players, they're all banging form for their clubs. And I think that is very exciting for Wales. Even in the, you know, when you go into the bench players, they are banging form. You know, you've got Kiefer Moore banging form, you've got Reuben Caldwell banging form, and it's very difficult then, or should I say, it becomes easier to perform at high level when you come off the bench, or when you when you come off the bench, or you know, when you're getting into these spaces, when you get your opportunity, if you're in form at your club, it'd be easier to naturally. Daniel James is another one, came in seamlessly on the weekend and really looked good. So let's have a look at what I think. So this is what I think the manager will play with. And then I'll kind of say, as we're going along, what I would do. In terms of how Wales played against Finland, I thought every single player contributed. Every single player was good. I was a little bit disappointed sometimes with, I thought Conor Roberts gave the ball away a little bit. a little bit cheaply sometimes. But I thought defensively, I thought it was one of his best games and going forward. But just generally in possession, I want him to be a bit sharper. The back three, or those centre-backs of Meepham, Rodham and Davis, as it was against Finland, I thought they got caught a little bit flat-footed when Finland got in and around the box and they tried these little 1-2s and link-up triangles. And when they tried to get in behind, I thought Rodon in particular just got caught a little bit flat-footed. So he just needs to be a bit more switched on against a side of Poland. Because, you know, like I said, you get Lewandowski in behind you, it's a goal. And look, that's not to criticise them, because I thought Rodon, you know, I thought Meepham, Davis, I thought they all had a great, you know, fine game. I thought Ben Davis was very good. Just little moments, I think, was more than anything, where they were just a little bit flat-footed or a little bit cheap with possession. So I think it'll be Danny Ward again. He didn't do anything wrong. I can't see why he would change to Hennessy now. It seems like a disruption which wouldn't be needed to the sort of back five. I think you're probably looking at the same back three. I can't see a reason why he'd change it. I was a bit concerned before the Finland game that he put Ampadu back in there, because Ampadu's been so good for Leeds in the as a centre back, but I feel that he's Wales's top central midfielder, and he's a future Wales captain, should be in the midfield. So I think it'll be Meepham, Rodon, Davis. I think it'll be Connor Roberts with Nico Williams. I don't really see a reason to change any of those positions. The only potentially one maybe would be like if you wanted to be a bit more attacking and put like a Daniel James on the right hand side. I don't think that's necessary, I've got to be honest. The double pivot in the middle picks itself. Jordan James, Ethan Ampadu, absolute top quality. The future of Welsh football in the middle of the park. Not a problem with either of those two. And I think then it just becomes a thing of whether do you go with the target man or do you stick with the pace and the youth and stick with what worked against Finland? Because what worked against Finland doesn't necessarily work against Poland. It might, but it might not. Me personally, I thought Wales were so good, particularly early on in the game, but even late on, but particularly that stuff, I think I'd probably keep the same 11. Because I look at the bench and all right, like Rabi Matondo is banging form for Rangers. Charlie Savage has been in good form. Daniel James has been excellent, came off the bench, was excellent for Wales. Ramsey's coming back from injury. So to me, the only ones really who you could, if you look at the bench, and you obviously got to add Colwell to that, the only ones who are really where you're saying, oh, could he start? Could I find a place for him in my starting lineup? Is probably Kiefer Moore, maybe Rabi Matondo. Broadhead as well, I think, has been in good form. But I don't, like, who'd you drop? Like, there's no one really. And I guess what I'm saying is there's no one on the bench where I'm thinking, oh, we could do with him against Poland and got to find a way to get him in. Look, if Ramsey was 100% fit, then of course Ramsey would be in there. Of course he would. But he's nowhere near 100% fit. And I think it would be a massive, massive risk to put him in there. And I also believe that if you put him in there, he almost creates a bit of an issue because he hasn't got the legs of the four that's in that central area. And that was so imperative to the way Wales played against Finland. And I think it could be the difference between us and Poland on Tuesday. I look at that box of James, Ampadu, Brooks, Wilson, and I could see them causing the same types of problems to Poland. The only difference I feel will be that Poland do have three sort of, they have a good solid three in the midfield, but they will have to do their, you know, if any of them switch off or if one of them is pushed right up on with the strikers trying to create and they get caught and Wales can create that overload. And look, when you look at that Poland side, just going back to that, they kind of, the way they line up out of possession is very, very similar to how they line up in possession. there's not too much of a change. So I think Wales may find themselves quite often with a bit of an overload in the middle of the park, unless one of the wing backs tucks in, unless Fideszky drops in. Wales will have that overload naturally with the two tens and the double pivot in against three players. And that added aggression and pace, I think we can cause some problems. And equally, what I said about Frankowski will look to get in behind Nico Williams when he pushes forward in the transition. They'll try and hit us on the break and get down the sides. I think Wales can do that as well. And I thought Brennan Johnson was quite quiet against Finland. I know he got his goal. He worked hard. He linked up really well, actually. I thought his link-up play was actually better than I thought it was previously. I was really impressed with his link-up play, which is something which you obviously lose when Kiefer Moore isn't there, that sort of focal point to link off. So I thought that was something that Brennan Johnson did do very well. And it's not that he played badly. I just thought he was quite quiet. And I know, you know, we know that he can do more in terms of what he's capable of. And when that trio of Johnson, Brooks and Wilson becomes a front three, they're so fluid, it's very difficult to mark from a defensive point of view. You know, you're going to have Bednarak, who's a very good defender, and Keywar, particularly good defenders. They'll almost have to go 3v3 with Brooks, Wilson and Johnson. But Brooks and Wilson particularly, they drop so deep and they switch and they drop in deep, they drop in the pockets of space. And if the defenders do go 1v1 and follow them, that creates a space for Brennan Johnson to exploit. That creates a space for Nico Williams to exploit or Connor Roberts to exploit. And that is maybe one reason why, when I looked at it, I was like, ooh, could you play Daniel James as the right wing back to try and exploit the spaces created by Brooks and Wilson's movement? It's a bit of a risk. It would be very almost gung-ho in terms of playing like an out-and-out winger stroke forward as your wing back. I think Daniel James is very capable of it. He's fit enough to just go up and down that right-hand side all day long. But he's obviously, in comparison to Connor Roberts, nowhere near as defensively capable. But he offers you so much more going forward. But I do like, I kind of like Daniel James off the break, off the bench. And you can always put him as the number nine and play on the break if the game's going your way. You've got Kiefer Moore, you've got Broadhead, Ramsey's there. I still think Ramsey's only been taken really for his experience around this young squad. I don't think he's been taken to play. I think he's been taken to be in and around the squad. And then if it goes to extra time, maybe we see him, you know, for 10 minutes or something to calm the team down. And Mark, because Wales's average age was 25 against Finland. So, you know, Poland have a lot of experience in their side. But then Wales's side is so, like, it's young, you know, it's average age 25. But if you look at the amount of caps that each individual has got, it's quite mental, like, the amount of caps they've got for players at such a young age. And I think that's the one thing which Wales have done so well in recent years, is they've got these young players playing early. So that, you know, Ethan Ampadu's 23, but he's played for Wales 50 times. Like, he's an experienced international footballer. And I just think that's massive to the way for Wales's future. Like, it's huge, because in these big games like this, this is a high pressure game. Everything's riding on it, you know? And if they were average age 25 and they all had a handful of caps, I think I'd be much more concerned. You know, Nico Williams, the same, 22 years old, has played for Wales 37 times. Fairly experienced international players. And as I said earlier on, I very much am confident that Wales can give anyone a game at home on their day. I said before the Finland game, if Ethan Ampadu chucked a 9 out of 10 game, Wales would win. He did. They did. They dominated. And I think that central area is going to be massive for for Wales. And in terms of if we can create the overloads and dominate the middle of the park again, I expect us to win again. We obviously need to be as clinical. Jamie Edwards says in the comments, Harry Wilson on a different level, to be fair, at the moment. Still waiting to see the big product from Brennan, considering he went for 50 million to Spurs. Yeah, I 100% agree with you that, mate. I think I said in my five things we learned afterwards, it's like Harry Wilson was the one who got the man of the match on the TV and everything. And I 100% understood that and almost agreed with it. The only reason I wouldn't have given him man of the match is because I thought Ethan Ampadu was so good. And we watched Ethan Ampadu really closely on the watch along. We spent a few minutes just watching him, and he was just outstanding. But I agree with you, mate. Harry Wilson has been excellent for Fulham all season. And I think he's going to be a massive asset to Wales in the coming years. He's a bit more experienced than some of the other players. He's a bit older, only a little bit, mind. And I think he's an experienced footballer amongst young players, but he hasn't always got his opportunities that he probably was due in a Wales shirt because he had Aaron Ramsey in front of him. However, Aaron Ramsey is obviously coming to the end of his international career, certainly. And I feel that this is going to be Harry Wilson. You know, Harry Wilson's 27. He's in his peak. He's playing top level stuff for his club. And boy, oh boy, did he turn up when Wales needed him on Thursday evening. And I hope he can do it again. And do you know what struck me? Like, I know I've been saying, and other people have been saying, how Ethan Ampadu is the next Wales captain. And I think he is the next Wales captain. But I wouldn't be surprised if Harry Wilson got it. If you watch him in the media and how he was talking, what a level-headed guy. Says all the right things. Really impressed by him. On and off the pitch. And it's going to be fascinating. In terms of who's going to be vital to Wales or the one to watch for Wales, I said Ampadu against Finland. I really do feel that if Ampadu chucks another 9 out of 10, we won't be far off. But for the sake of changing it up a little bit, I'm going to go with Nico Williams. Nico Williams was exceptional going forward on Thursday. What I feel we need from Nico Williams this week or on Tuesday is he needs to be as good going forward, but he also needs to be up and down that left-hand side, because Frankowski on the right-hand side of Poland's side is the danger man. And Nico needs to be aware of that, but also Ampadu normally slots in on that side and Ampadu will cover. And if you watch when Nico Williams goes bombing forward, if the ball breaks down or the play breaks down, and it goes down that right-hand side, Ampadu comes across, James comes across, and Connor Roberts will slot in. So you'll end up with Roberts and James in the middle, in front of the back three, and Ampadu will be the sort of default, de facto left-back until Nico Williams is back. Very well drilled. And obviously, the other way, it goes James, Nico Williams, and they all shift across. It's very well drilled, and it's clever. Look, it's tactically clever. And Robert Page doesn't always get the credit tactically. And by me as well, I've criticised some of his in-game decisions and things like that. One thing you've got to say is that against Finland, he was brave, and he got his selection and his tactics spot on. Wales blew Finland away at the start of the first half and the start of the second half. And I would love for us to start that quickly against Poland. Yes, Poland are going to be hard. But if you can get an early goal or two, it's a big game. And if they find themselves 2-0 down after half an hour, Poland have to come at you then. They have to take risks. And then you can utilise the pace of Nico Williams. You can utilise the creativity of Brooks and Wilson. You can utilise Brennan Johnson just in behind all the time on the break. And then, you know, off the bench, then you've got the likes of Matondo and Daniel James. You can, you know, you could play, if you can get to a period where you're 2-0 up, you could play Daniel James as a number nine out of possession. You can sit in and make it very compact and difficult to play against. And then when you win the ball, you break up pace with Williams and James and the rest. But look, Poland's going to be a very, very difficult game. I see that Poland are slight favourites with the bookies. I believe that Wales, on their day at home at the Cardiff City Stadium, can beat anyone. I believe in this team. I believe that no team in football wants to play against pace and energy in the press and in the middle of midfield. And that is Wales' strongest area for me. So, yes, we need big games from your Am Purdue's, your Jordan James's, these young footballers. But they're more than capable. They've shown time and time again they're more than capable. And then you just need the experience of your Rodons, your Davis, your Ward, Harry Wilson, to just keep it on the level, keep it calm. And hopefully Wales can start quick. And we'll be going to Germany in the summer. Predictions. Please drop your predictions in the comment section underneath this video. You can put it in the live chat as well, but it helps us out massively if you can go to the YouTube video and put it in the comments. Predictions to let us know what you think the score will be. I'm going to go with 3-1 Wales. I just fancy us. Rodri's in the chat. There you go. Good to see you, mate. See you on Tuesday for the watch along. Feeling good? 3-1 Wales, mate. That's what I just said. Well in, Rodders. Yes, indeed. Let me know what your predictions are. I just fancy Wales, I've got to be honest. If they can get the same atmosphere, the same start, the same energy and aggression. And like I said, that double pivot of Am Purdue and James is just so good. But that middle four, laterally, of Connor Roberts, Jordan James, Am Purdue and Nico Williams is so well drilled to kind of invert and drop in and cover each other. And then the box of Jordan James, Am Purdue, Brooks and Wilson is so well drilled at creating an overload in the middle of the pitch. Like, Wales dominated the midfield versus Finland, and they need to do that against Poland. I really, really do fancy Wales. Hopefully that doesn't come to bite me on the bum. But it's also going to be vital that Wales defend their box better. In and around that box, you've got Jordan James and Am Purdue need to be more aware of what's behind them. And Rodon needs to not be as flat-footed, because if Lewandowski gets a chance in that 18-yard box, he will tuck it away and you could find yourself conceding a couple of quick goals, and then the pressure's on the other way. So Wales really need to be switched on and play with the same intensity and levels that they did this past Thursday. It's going to be a big game. If you're not going to the game, join us for the watch-along on Tuesday night. We'll have the Cardiff City phone in on the channel tomorrow. I'm sure they'll be discussing the Welsh game. And then Wednesday, we'll have the Flower Hour. Thursday, we'll have file. Maybe Thursday, a Flower Hour. Well, I don't know. We'll have five things we learned from Wales v Poland. And then the international break will be done. We've got a podcast with former Cardiff City captain Roger Gibbons coming soon, among other things. Make sure you check Ace Podcast Nation and stuff like that. We have Roger Giggs show on Thursday, among many other things. Lots of content coming your way, lots of interviews and analysis, previews, all that good stuff. But until then, I bid you a farewell. As always, thanks for joining us. And we'll see you Tuesday for the watch along. Come on, Wales. Nice one.
Sports Social Podcast Network.